Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Toronto-based jazz baritone saxophonist Alex Manukas. We caught up with him about quite a bit, like his life in music, his love of Oscar Peterson, COVID life, and his new 2022 CD, New Roots. This is his first full album that is a refreshing celebration of music of today by the musicians of tomorrow, featuring an octet full of originals. Enjoy this story.
Thanks for taking a minute after the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for hearing the record and all that.
So let's talk about New Roots. It's coming out now, hopefully during a time where live music is picking up, things are getting into a better space for musicians. How does this particular timing of New Roots coming out feel for you?
It feels really good. Things are starting to open up here again in Ontario. So we got some gigs, got a couple gigs in Ottawa and some gigs here in Toronto, whereas if we would have released the record in like January or something, you know, it just wouldn't have happened. So we're able to play for people again, which is really great.
Well, and I guess that's the point, really. You know, there was never, I don't think, a good time for anybody to be able to predict when things were going to come back with variants and everything that was going on. So I think it's serendipitous probably right now to, and the weather's warming up and all of that to get things going. So with the new album coming out, you know, of all of the people that out there, professionals that have been in a public space, musicians were the last ones to actually enter the stage. You know, athletes were getting back in stadiums and all of that, but everybody was kind of held back in the entertainment world. So my question to you is, over this last 2 years of kind of being reflective and being away from that element that you've known so well, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that will make you stronger as you promote this new album?
I think I kind of took for granted how special it is to make music with people, like in the same vicinity. Because I was, you know, when COVID hit, we were kind of just all by ourselves and whatnot, and just, you know, really hitting the woodshed pretty hard, which is another thing that I think is interesting. Like when we started playing together again, everyone had so much different stuff going on musically, and it's like, wow, this is, I mean, maybe one good thing that has come from COVID, but yeah, one thing I definitely took for granted how incredible it is to be able to play this music with people, you know, and made me realize how special, you know, this great music that we play is, you know.
It's your debut album. It's your initial statement in the world of jazz. You got all-star players around you. What were you really going for to make sure that everybody remembers this first album of yours?
Because I wrote half the tunes, so I can't speak for Nick and what he was going for or anything like that, you know. But I just, for a lot of it, I'm like, I want to write some, like, groovy arrangements, and I want to write some arrangements that really swing, you know what I mean? And because everyone in the band has, like, a really strong improvisational voice, you know, they can all really play, I wanted to write arrangements to showcase each and every member of the band, you know?
When the listener takes this and fully absorbs this new album, what do you hope they get from this experience?
Well, you know, I just hope they have a good time and dig what Toronto has to offer, some of the young cats of Toronto have to offer, you know what I mean? Like, there's, I think everyone, I was saying to Nick, actually, as we were, like, just wrapping up for the day, we were all, like, kind of hanging out in a park afterwards, like, celebrating the record being done, and I was like, man, you know, Nick, I really think, like, everyone had, like a moment on this record where, like, they just played some absolutely crazy stuff, you know. And I was like, man, yeah, okay, I think we really captured something, you know.
Let's go back to the beginnings of your life and how jazz became your life. Are you originally from Toronto?
Yeah, East End.
Okay, cool. So talk to me a little bit about how this all began for you, maybe some of your influences and how this became your life.
I got a keyboard for Christmas when I was 11. Started, like, learning some classical music, actually. I was, like, listening to a lot of, like, Bach and Mozart and Chopin, and one day I was flipping through some radio stations, and I found Jazz FM 91, which is, like, one of the local jazz stations here in Toronto, and it just so happened to be Oscar Peterson, a tune by Oscar Peterson playing, and I'd never heard the piano played like that before, you know? And I was like, wow, I want to sound like that. From there, I went down the rabbit hole of, you know, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, Lester Young, all those guys. And then the next year, I started playing saxophone in school. I started on alto, and then I moved over to baritone sax. And after hearing Pepper Adams and Jerry Mulligan and Ronnie Cuber, I knew like baritone sax was going to be my thing that I do for the rest of my life, you know?
You know, it's funny. There's so many people that get launched because of Miles and Bird, but there is a lot of people. Oscar really has launched thousands of dreams for a lot of people. It's amazing. What was the first live concert that you ever caught that blew you away? Live jazz show.
I can't remember who. I remember my dad and my uncles took me to the Rex Hotel and Jazz. The Rex is a local jazz bar we have here in Toronto, and I can't remember who was playing, but I remember it was my first time hearing like jazz music be played in front of me, because I had only ever heard like Blue Train and all the classic records, but I'd never seen it happen in front of me, and it like really like dug like the energy, you know, of like what high level jazz musicians can do. That was it. I can't remember who it was, but I remember leaving there being like, oh, okay, I kind of see what this is about now, or like it kind of changed the way I think about the music, you know, like seeing the drummer like just smash the cymbal and like the bassist like tug at the strings like that. I'm like, oh, like this is crazy. You know what I mean?
So when you started professionally playing, what was the first club, first venue you played at where you were like, wow, I can't believe I'm on this stage, I've arrived?
It was actually the Rex, the place I just mentioned. 3 years later or something, I was in my first year of music school, and I was playing with this band called Triple Baritone. And yeah, we somehow got like every Friday in like June or whatever it was, I can't remember. And I was like, wow, this is like, I don't know, this is one of like the spots here in Toronto. It felt very special to be on that stage, and I've been back many times, and it's always a treat, you know.
You know, being a professional musician affords you the opportunity to create, do what you want to do with your life. But what's the most pleasing part, most satisfying aspect of being a professional musician for you?
Honestly, like playing. It's like playing the music that I want to play, or that like playing with a group of people where we are all doing exactly what it is that we want to do musically, free of judgment from anyone. You know what I mean?
Let's say we catch up here in about 10 years. Your debut obviously is right now. You got a long road ahead of you, and we catch up and I say, what's been going on? What are you happy that's happened? What do you want to see transpire?
I'd love to do some more touring. That's one thing I haven't done a lot of. Touring, especially with a band like this octet, you know, like which is the debut, the band I'm debuting with. I'd love to do some traveling with those guys, perhaps like in, you know, places in the United States and Europe and everything. Definitely love to do some touring.
I guess that's been a question of mine too. When I talk to, you know, veterans and kind of ask them about COVID and how it's affected the landscape of younger players, I'm wondering if, from your perspective, talking is, you know, about going out and playing more and doing more, have you seen the younger generation getting dissuaded by what we've been living through with this COVID, or do you think it's just as strong as it was before?
You know, I'd say it's actually stronger now than it was before because of us just being left to our own devices for so long. And now that things are opening, everyone's so, so hungry to play again that, like, cats are really hustling now. Especially young guys are really, really hustling, and there's a lot of gigs happening now, more so than before, from what I've seen.
So let's say you get into a time machine.
A time machine pulls up in front of your house. You can go anywhere in the history of jazz and see anybody live. Where are you going? Who are you going to see?
I'm going to that's a cool question. I think about that. I'd go like New York City, 1964, and I'd see the John Coltrane Quartet, probably at the Village Vanguard or something. That's my all-time favorite band, John Coltrane Quartet. Easy.
Man, if I could assemble everybody that's answered that question in somewhat of a similar way like that, there would be a lot of people from the world of jazz that would be in that room right now, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so as we get back to the live environment, and you kind of touched on this, but I guess in a more pointed way, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music as it returns more?
I hope we realize just how powerful it is, you know? I don't know, like, yeah, that's a great question. I don't even really know how to answer that, honestly. Just how crazy it is, how crazy this thing we do is, you know?
So I guess this would be a more appropriate question that would encapsulate that. Why do you love jazz?
Oh, many different reasons. I love the history of it. You know, I love all the traditions, all the little like anecdotal stories that come along with it. You know, I love the people. I love the songs. I there's nothing I don't love about jazz. That's for sure.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of who you are. Who do you think you are?
I think I'm a man of the music, or trying to be a man of the music. That's what I think. I'm here to serve the music. You know what I mean? Like, this is it, man.
I get it. Alex, hey, thanks, man, for opening up. Good luck with New Roots and with the return to the live stage. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time, man. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Toronto, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Alex for his time, music, and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And finally, for everything Joe Domino related, go to JoeDomino.com. And if you feel like it, you can kick in a few bucks to the Neon Jazz cause. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.